Hello, I'm Curtis Bowers, and this is Agenda Weekly. Thank you so much for joining me again this week. I really appreciate it. Those watching on Rumble, please like and subscribe. That helps us a lot. Those that are subscribers to Agenda Weekly, thank you so much. I want you never to forget that we have a very grateful heart for what you're doing to be there month after month supporting what we do. It's a great blessing. This week, I was invited to speak at a conference in Georgia of the Liberty Pastors, and it was a great time being there with them. And it's a group I want to encourage you men that might be pastors that watch these. You might want to get involved. We'll have the link below, but Liberty Pastors, it's by Paul Blair out of Oklahoma, but there's pastors from all over the country involved with it. But if you went to one of their conferences that are 3 days long, you would learn so much. It was amazing to me to see all the things that were taught the pastors just during those few days. I was one of the speakers. Alex Newman was there, Kevin Freeman, Rick Green from Patriot Academy, and many others. And you just get an overview of America's Christian history. You get an overview of what's going on right now that your congregation needs to be aware of, and so much more. And those of you that have good pastors, you ought to really encourage them to become part of Liberty Pastors. And we'll have the link below. You could share this video with them, and maybe that will get them interested. But today I'm going to just play the talk for you that I gave at Liberty Pastors this week on Marxism and communism and how they're not different entities. One is a philosophy, and when you implement the philosophies and take the action necessary as a Marxist, you end up in communism. They try to act like it's different. Marxism's different than communism. It's not. Marxists are communists, but I'll get into detail about some of the history of that, and I think you'll find it very interesting. Before I play the talk I gave at the conference this week, I wanted to talk about some of the videos below. We have more than normal, and sorry about that, but there were so many important videos we watched this week that really have powerful, important information in them. One of them is by Tucker. He interviews a lady who lived through the Cultural Revolution in China. You need to watch that one if you can, if you have the time. It's so powerful. She talks about what is going on in America right now is exactly the same as what Mao was doing in China. And she can't believe it's all happening again. And so many people I've talked to that were raised in communist countries, they say that too. This is what happened in Cuba or in the Soviet Union. We are falling to communism right now. That's why these talks are so important. There's another video below by Ben Carson, and he is just a great guy. But he talks about in this short talk just how right now one of the new crises we're facing is the crisis of legitimacy. All of our institutions have turned on those who are patriotic, those who are conservative, those who are Christian. And it's created a crisis because people are not going to listen anymore, or at least half are not, and half are, and the divide is going to widen out to a level that is probably not survivable. But that's an important one. There's a video about the new bill that Trudeau is trying to pass up in Canada, and it's unbelievable. It makes it illegal for you to say something that makes someone else feel bad. I'm telling you, the censorship is getting ready to come full steam ahead. I'm even wanting to remind those of you that listen on the podcast, those that watch on Rumble, probably in the near future, I would guess this year sometime, we will not be posting these things anymore. It'll be just available through Agenda Weekly, where we can get them out privately to our subscribers. But I don't want it to get to the point where then they pull the plug and then you can't take credit cards anymore. You can't do business at all, or then there's no way to speak with you, and there's no way to provide for my family, and that's just coming. But Canada is further down the road. But this new bill, if anyone complains that what you stated, even if it is true, offended them or made them feel bad, it is a crime. I mean, so it's hard to believe. It's Soviet Union times two. But that's where we are. And then there's also a video some of you may have seen. It's a gentleman talking about World War III and how he thinks it's coming real soon. Literal troops on the ground in America, Chinese troops shooting Americans, a full-blown war. And he says there, I don't know the time frame, but I know it is going to happen. And I can tell you, I know it's going to happen too, because for 100 years they've been planning this, and they're getting closer every day. I don't know when it is. It's a sobering video to listen to, but he's a strong Christian and has a lot of hope at the end to listen to. But we do need to pull ourselves out of the bubble that makes us still think everything's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay. I guarantee you that. And so we need to kind of step things up mentally and in preparation and just be tough, because all it's going to take is one moment. It could be this year. It could be 5 years from now. But there will be a moment when everything will change like that. And it could be, there's 1,000 different possibilities of what that might be. But when that happens, China's going to take advantage of it if it's not them who did it to begin with. All our Joint Chiefs of Staff, the people that control the Pentagon and our military, have all been bought off by China. They would be working with China, not with us. And anyway, a lot of things like that that you need to be aware of, not in fear, but just understanding the times. And so you can carefully and thoughtfully and prayerfully decide where you should be, what you should be doing. And but anyway, there's a bunch of great videos below, and if you have time, watch those. If not, maybe watch some of them next week. But we put them there because they were so important. And anyway, I hope they'll be a blessing to you. Now is the talk that I gave at Liberty Pastors in Georgia this last week. And we were on an island right next to Jekyll Island. Just wanted to bring that up. That's where the creature from Jekyll Island was strategized out, the Federal Reserve, which has completely destroyed our currency and has caused such poverty throughout America. But I hope you'll enjoy this talk and share it with those who need to hear what it says.
Ladies and gentlemen, a very good friend of mine. I met Curtis because of the Agenda DVDs. He has been in our church on several occasions. In fact, you were just with us like 6 months ago. But a good friend and a great warrior for Jesus. Please welcome to the stage, Curtis Bowers.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here with you. You are the leaders of your communities. That's what the church is supposed to be, and I'm glad you're getting prepared to step up to that role. A pastor is very much like a father. I'm not a pastor, but I am a father. And a father and a pastor, as they're leading the people God has given them, must understand the times. They have to understand everything. You can't have a blind spot to not see something that is a danger and threat to the sheep, to the flock, to those God has entrusted to you. So I'm so thankful for Liberty Pastors. I'm so thankful for Art Alley.
Amen.
When I first finished my first film 14 years ago, he bought 1,000 copies of it. He liked it so much. It was a great blessing to us, but then I got to know him. And I know many of you know him well already, but he's a wonderful man. I'm very thankful for you, Art, very much. Paul, I'm thankful to have you as a friend. And if we ever end up in the foxholes, I want you in mine. I've been given the task of explaining Marxism and communism. And it seems like with all that's happened in the world over the last 100 years, that wouldn't need to be done. It seems like everyone would know what it is and how evil it is. And a lot of you might not realize this, but in the Soviet Union, this is what a failed system looks like. They literally, if you wanted to buy a new car, you had to go pay for the car and get on a waiting list that was 10 years long. So you have to pay for it ahead of time. You're on a list for 10 years, and then you get your car. And the Russians tell the story of there was a guy that had saved up for years and years. He got in line, he gave them his money, he signed up on the list, and they told him, in 10 years, come back on this day and pick up your car. And he said, morning or afternoon. And they said, what difference does it make 10 years from now? He said, well, the plumber's coming in the morning. That was a famous joke that Ronald Reagan always told. But it's a real one from the Russian people. They had a great sense of humor to deal with the tyranny that was over them. How many of you have seen my first film, Agenda, Grinding America Down in Its Totality? Okay, just a few of you. There's free copies out there that you're able to take of both films, but you have to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
If you're not going to, I'd rather give them to someone else that will.
Amen.
But I think if you watch them and you show them to your congregation, it will be a tremendous blessing to you. It will save you the years of study and understanding the times and what's going on in this area. I have my youngest with me today. Crosby, stand up for a minute. That's right. My wife was going to come, but she wasn't feeling well, so I'm so thankful my daughter got to come. God has blessed me with 9 children, and I've homeschooled all of them, and it's made all the difference. I'm the richest man in America because of what God has given me just in my family. And when you do it His way, you get the full blessing, and you realize, oh my goodness, the counterfeit things the world is selling us have no value whatsoever. And I'm going to show you, since my wife and the rest of the kids aren't here, I'm going to show you a 90-second clip from the second movie. But I show you this so you can meet my family and to encourage you to watch the film, but also to remind you who God is. He can still part the Red Sea anytime He wants.
Mm-hmm.
And He can still use people that don't have much to offer to do great things if He chooses to. In 2007, I was a state representative, and I had no idea the things I would discover about why America was collapsing from within would motivate me to take my life savings and make a film. And I had never made a film before. During the 2 years it took to finish the project, my children prayed daily that it would win the largest single cash prize film festival in America, which in my thinking was a mighty tall order. But of course, it wasn't for God.
The 2010 $101,000 grand prize for Best of Festival goes to Agenda!
God is so good. I'd like to thank Him for just the wonderful wife He gave me. I don't think any man can even reach a fraction of his potential if he doesn't have the woman with him that God intended him to have for life. And I want to thank her. Kids, I'm giving this to you so you always remember God does answer prayers. Thank you so much. Communism and communist. As you know as pastors, that Christ has His followers, His disciples, His people that are accomplishing His purposes here on this earth. But Satan also has his disciples. And communist, Marxist, those are his disciples. They are adamantly and with a righteous and in a religious fervor that's hard to comprehend, trying to accomplish his purposes. And we see by all the things they're trying to accomplish that they are not stopping until everything God designed to be a certain way has been turned on its head. That's what this is, that's all this is about. It is what Ephesians 6 talks about. It is a spiritual battle against wickedness and Satan. It's not naive, misguided people that don't have a clue. It's people that are committed to their commander-in-chief, and they do exactly as they are told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The reason we are losing this, and I'll talk more at the end about this, is because we aren't near as committed as they are.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been studying communism for many, many years, and as I've done that, I've always been blown away and shamed as I see how committed they are to a lie when we have the truth and yet most of the time don't have time for it. What is Marxism? Well, if you went to Wikipedia, it says this. Marxism is a social, economic, and political philosophy that analyzes the impact of the ruling class on the laborers, leading to uneven distribution of wealth and privileges in society. And then when you ask it, well, what's the goal of Marxism? It says, it's to analyze and critique capitalist societies and ultimately achieve a classless society. And then the last definition, what is the difference between Marxism and communism? It says, Marxism is a philosophy, while communism is a system of government based on Marxist principles. Most people are using the term Marxist today because it kind of sounds watered down. Marxists are communist, period. Okay, so yes, the Lenins, the Stalins, the Maos, that's who we're up against. Okay, and we need to understand that. As you go into just studying this, here's my definition. Is Marxism and communism is a system where the elites use the rebellious to manipulate the masses into submitting their liberties temporarily for the hopes of creating a utopia. That's all it is. 20th century communism was not a failure. It accomplished exactly what it was supposed to, slavery of every human under its control. The only reason it failed, per se, is because they didn't have the entire world under their control, which now is their goal. That's all the World Economic Forum is about, as Alex will talk more about. It's communism repackaged for today with flowery-sounding terminology to get you to submit your liberties to save the planet or whatever little scheme they come up with. But that's where we are. Vladimir Lenin, of course, was the founder of the Soviet Union. And most of the strategy we see being used today against us came from him. He was a genius of strategy and how to manipulate people that are even your enemies, but convince them you're working with them and to be able to use their energies to help you accomplish your goals. Here's how he defines Marxism, and I think it's the accurate definition. Quote, carefully, attentively, and skillfully take advantage of every, even the smallest fissure among the enemy. So you're taking advantage of different groups. Seize every, even the smallest opportunity of gaining a mass ally, even though this ally may be temporary, vacillating, unstable, unreliable, and conditional. Those who do not understand this fail to understand even a grain of Marxism. Vladimir Lenin. What does that mean in terms today? They will become all things to all people. If you are a Christian, they'll realize, okay, these people probably care about the creation, so we're going to come up with something called creation care, which is going to push the radical environmental agenda, but we're going to throw a few Bible verses in there, so they go, oh, yeah, creation, God made everything. Yeah, I'm happy to, oh, I want to be involved in what you're doing. If you're a homosexual, they go, it's not fair you aren't able to get married. We'll help you get those rights. And they'll use everyone, even people they despise, to accomplish their purposes. And he said, that is Marxism. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand anything at all. Another interesting thing is that Marxists and communists, they mean what they say. We don't most of the time, but I've learned they do. And I'll tell you, here's the plan. Lenin outlined it over 100 years ago. He said this, quote, first we will take Eastern Europe, then the masses of Asia. We will encircle the last bastion of capitalism, the United States of America. We will not need to fight. It will fall as a ripe fruit into our hands. The agenda has not changed. Their goal is world communism. and they will not stop. And it's interesting to me, 100 years ago, he knew when it came to America, because he knew all the things they were deceitfully doing inside of our country to rot us from within, he knew we won't even need to fight when we get to that step. They will fall like a ripe fruit into our hands. Boy, was he right. God prepares you for what you're going to do in life, doesn't he? Even when you don't know what it is, he does. God put me in a great family. When I was 12 years old, my dad gave me this book. It's called You Can Trust the Communist by Dr. Fred Schwartz. He said, son, this threat of communism is very serious. You need to understand it. Dr. Fred Schwartz, if you haven't heard the name, you should have. He was a great patriot. He was from a medical doctor from Australia who came to America in the 1950s and realized then he was so in touch with what was going on in Marxist philosophy. He said, you are falling to Marxism right now. Back in the 1950s, he noticed that. He quit his practice, never practiced medicine again, moved to America, and spent his life speaking all over this country to wake people up to this danger of communism that was encircling the globe. Many of the people he woke up were people like Ronald Reagan and Phyllis Schlafly and many others. Well, he wrote this book in 1960 to wake the troops. And I'm just going to read you just a little bit at the beginning because it's so powerful. The thesis of this book is very simple. It is that communists are communist. I intend to show that they are exactly what they say they are. They believe what they say they believe. Their objective is the objective they have repeatedly proclaimed to all the world. Their organization is the organization that they have described in minute detail. And their moral code is the one they have announced without shame. Once we accept the fact that communists are communist and understand the laws of their thought and conduct, all the mystery disappears, and we are confronted with a movement which is frightening in its superb organization, strategic mobility, and universal program, but which is perfectly understandable and almost mathematically predictable. And that's what I see, talking about how when they say something, they mean it. I've been studying them for decades, reading. What are they saying? What are they doing? So you know where we are going. And just a little bit more on this, because this ties into you as mothers, fathers, and pastors. Listen to the way he explains this, why it's so important you understand this threat. So your congregation is not led astray by things that sound good but are not good. In the battle against communism, there is no substitute for accurate, specific knowledge. Ignorance is evil and paralytic. The best intentions allied with the most sincere motives are ineffective and futile if they are divorced from adequate knowledge. Consider a mother who has a small daughter to whom she is devoted. For this daughter, she is determined to do all that a mother may do. She feeds her a well-balanced diet to build a healthy body. She provides the finest education to develop her mind. She cares for her spiritual well-being and gives her a lovely home. In the environment of this young girl, and in the environment we live in today, there are men who specialize in gaining the confidence of little girls by giving them candy and enticing them into automobiles to molest them. If the mother neglects to give her child the specific information to meet such a situation, she will fail in her duty, and all her loving care will count for nothing when the crisis comes. There is no substitute for specific knowledge. You have to understand communism because it is the movement that is taking over the world, and their number one goal is to take America down. Every threat we face, what Paul was talking about with the climate nonsense, and all the different things that come along, there is a communist or a Marxist behind every single one of them, as I have dug in and studied. Black Lives Matter, which the video was showed of that, I was going to talk about that for a minute. That is a Marxist communist organization. It has nothing to do with black lives. In fact, you'll learn as you study Marxist strategy, whatever they say it is about, it is always the exact opposite. So Black Lives Matter, as an example, I know we have some black brothers and sisters here. It is a movement to show black lives don't mean anything. What do? They go into the cities and stir up the young black people to burn down their own neighborhoods so they won't have places to shop. They won't have places to get a job. And then they leave, and some of them get arrested and then have criminal records. It's a total lie. It's how can we use the black community to create the chaos we desire to destroy this country from within? The climate issue, which was just talked about a lot. But I flew up to Vancouver, British Columbia, because I wanted to talk to Dr. Patrick Moore. And I met with him in his home. And he's not a Christian, but he really does care about the environment. But as I was talking to him, I got him to actually say specifically to me, I say, Dr. Moore, why did you leave the group you started? And with me in person, he said, because the communists took it over. He said that exactly to me. He didn't say the left. He said the communists took it over. The Berlin Wall came down, and they all went into the environmental movement to use that as a vehicle to take America down from within. The LGBTQ plus, etc., the homosexual movement. If you dig into that, Henry Hay started the first homosexual organization in America called the Mattachine Society a long decades ago. And he was one of the leaders in the Communist Party USA. And he did that because they knew you have to pervert the definitions of marriage. You have to pervert the morality so things will collapse from within. The feminist movement, the movement that was trying to convince women, come out, don't raise your children, come out into the world and work for some man and have a meaningful life. Why did they do that? Because they knew a woman's job was the most powerful position in the world. And they knew the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We want to raise those kids. And so that whole movement was started by a lady named Betty Friedan. And she wrote a book long ago called Feminine Mystique. And that book brainwashed tens of millions of women to think they could go find fulfillment in the world when it was right there in front of them. And we found out later she acted like she was just discontent with being a wife and mother. But no, she was a supporter of Joseph Stalin in the Soviet Union and was a wicked lady that was doing her part for the communist cause to take America down. You look at the rock and roll culture in America. No one likes to talk about this because most even Christians love rock and roll. But if you look at the roots of it, period, John Lennon was a communist. He wrote the song for the Revolution for America, working class hero for the communist revolution. I found articles where they interviewed him in the Soviet Union in the early 70s, and he said, we're doing our part to break the culture down to collapse America from within. Mick Jagger was a communist. I can't get no satisfaction was to pull our young people into a lie where they would start rebelling so they could use their energies to create a revolution in America and take us over. And people, oh, I don't talk about that. Well, it's the way it is. And I'll bring this up too because it so disturbs me. Millions of young people worldwide follow those Pied Pipers into the drugs, sex, and rock and roll and are dead today because of it. The woke church, why are you the remnant? Why isn't every pastor in the state of Georgia at this meeting where we have a coliseum to have, why? Because they knew the church was their greatest enemy. One of the top communists in America who helped found the Communist Party, he defected from the Communist Party in America back in the 1950s because after he saw Stalin had slaughtered 20 plus million of their own people, he realized, wait a minute, maybe communism is not what I thought it was. Well, our Congress interviewed him back in 1953 and they said, what have you all been doing to take America down from within? And he said, the number one thing we've been doing starting in the 1930s was going into the seminaries of America. And we've been doing that to stay on and then be the professors so we could start using the energies of the church to accomplish our purposes. None of it is an accident, and none of it wasn't carefully planned out in what they're doing. Their job is to break down everything and then rebuild it in the way they want it to be. This little book here came out in 1966. It's by Mao, the communist leader. And he wrote this book and gave it to all the children in China so they would rebel against their own parents and turn their own parents in to be tortured and executed. And what he did is what is happening in America today. He came to power and he said, we are going to get rid of the four olds, the old culture, the old ideology, the old customs, and the old traditions. That's why Christianity has to go. We can't have any of the olds. We're only having the news. And they've got rid of that, and that's what they did. And that's the same thing going in our government schools today. Another thing I want to talk about here for a minute is just how strategic they are. That's why you have to take this seriously, because they are just so thoughtful and purposeful and premeditated, because their commander-in-chief, who is Lucifer, of course, is the father of lies. And what does the Bible tell us? There is no truth in him. None. That's why it's always a lie. I'm going to read you a few of these quotes so you understand. Another famous communist from the 1930s was a man named Antonio Gramsci, and my films talk about him. But he realized that if you wanted to take America down, or any country that had a foundation of believing in God, you could not do it the old way. You couldn't have a Marxist revolution, because Christians aren't going to rise up and start killing each other off, because God said, thou shalt not kill. And so he said, you got to have a different strategy. Here's just one quote from him. This has been the marching orders of everyone that is against God for the last 90 years. Quote, any country grounded in Judeo-Christian values can't be overthrown until those roots are cut. Socialism is precisely the religion that must overwhelm Christianity. In the new order, socialism will triumph by first capturing the culture via infiltration of the schools, universities, churches, and media, and by transforming the consciousness of society. 90 years ago, he said that. That's what they've been doing. They are very religious. It's just a different religion. It's a false religion, and that's what we're up against. Vladimir Lenin gave us another key to what they do, and I've seen this happen so often. He said this, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. Now think about that for a minute. Think about that. That is their strategy in everything. So when you see something that is opposing you, okay, we need to lead it. What does that mean? You're going to infiltrate it and subvert it from within, where you can use that. They don't want to destroy the church. They want to take over the church. Everything they do is to maximize their influence and their effect on what's going on. Listen to this quote. This is from 1921, Vladimir Lenin. If this doesn't describe exactly the Black Lives Matter movement and all the riots we had, and I'm sure they'll be coming back this year. But listen to this. Divide the people into hostile groups by constantly harping on controversial matters of no importance. Always preach true democracy, but seize power as fast and as ruthlessly as possible. Encourage government extravagances, destroy its credit, produce fear with rising prices and inflation and general discontent. Encourage civil disorder and foster a soft and lenient attitude on the part of government towards such disorder. Because, you know, then you're planting the seeds of revolution. Because they do want to have a revolution in America, but they knew 50 years ago they weren't quite ready for it. This one is especially powerful to me as a Christian, and it should be to you. But showing again how deceitful they are and how just satanically motivated they are to figure out, how can we get your kids on our side? What's the best way of doing this? This is a man from the Frankfurt School back in 1932, which was a communist group of men that came to America. They were dropped down in all of our schools by John Dewey, all of our top universities. But here's what he said. Listen to this, how strategic this is. Quote, we as communists used to debate people about the existence of God. And after a while, I came to a conclusion that this was a waste of time. You aren't going to debate people away from the existence of God. But what we found was that if you can get people involved in deviant sexual behavior, the whole idea of God just disappears automatically. Think about that. They realize if they can get your kids to be immoral, God disappears. Why? Because when you're sinning, you don't want there to be a God. You don't want that guilt. So he's going to just disappear from your life because you don't want that making you realize what you're doing is wrong. There's so many other things here I won't cover. Oh, another classic quote by him that I love. Worse is better. Think about that. That's why they're always creating chaos and unrest. Worse is better. The worse things get, the more we're going to be able to grab power and take control. So many different things there. Another key thing you need to understand about communists and Marxists, they always have an agenda. They always have a clearly defined agenda of what they're going to do. Back in 1932, the head of the Communist Party USA, William Z. Foster, wrote this book. It's called Towards Soviet America. And he outlined, if we want America to become like the Soviet Union, here's what we need to do. And if you read this book today, it's shocking. They've done all of it. But again, all the like-minded fellow travelers, people on board, they read this back then. And then they all knew, okay, that's what we're doing. We got to move forward in this direction. Towards Soviet America by William Z. Foster, who was the head of the Communist Party USA. He even ran for president of the United States a few times. One of the most famous books, and you've probably heard of this one, is called The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. He was a FBI agent that had gone in undercover and collected the data from the FBI agents that were in communist cells all over America. And he compiled a list. Here's the 45 main things they're doing from within to take us down. And this list is from the 1950s. I'm just going to read a couple of them to you, but it will probably make sense to you why we're in the position we are today when you realize this. All of these goals in 1950s America were radical. I've interviewed so many people like Phyllis Schlafly and talked to her, and I said, when you first read The Naked Communist, what did you think of the goals? And she said what Ed Meese said and John Stormer and my father and so many people I've talked to, they said, we thought that will never happen in our lifetime. And then they all turned beet red and said almost the same thing. And yet they've accomplished all of them, even though we were standing against it. You wonder what's going on in the schools. Goal 17, get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism, soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations. What does that mean to use them as transmission belts for socialism? That means we've got to start teaching socialist ideas as if they're good and they're fair. And that's the best path forward. And like the data that Alex Newman showed you yesterday, 70% of our young people now say, that's what we want. And what does it mean when 70% of the young people say, that's what we want? That means that's what you're going to get because they will be the adults very soon. Some of these that affect life as a Christian and thing, they were just shocking to me the first time I read these years ago. Goal number 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. They knew you get an obscene culture, it's going to crumble. And I'm shocked that they understood that, but most Americans don't get it. I've got to tell you a quick story from 1972 or 3. I was 7 or 8 years old. I went to the store with my mother in Tampa, Florida, where we lived. And she was going into Ma's Brothers to buy something feminine or whatever. And they would have never allowed a boy to go into a women's department back then because he might see something he shouldn't see. That's one definition of how we've changed. But so I'm waiting out on the sidewalk, and I'll never forget this because I was scared to death, but this will let you know how far we've really come. I was standing there waiting, and on the other side of the doorway, there was a man that was just a rough character. He was tattooed head to toe, which back then was not, I'd never seen it before, and I remember glancing over, and I was like, Oh my goodness. And he was talking to a gentleman next to him, and I'm standing there waiting for my mother. And while he was talking to that gentleman, he used the word hell. And whatever, and he kept talking. I remember it was about a minute or two later, he looked over and he saw me, and I remember seeing his eyes, and he walked over to me. He put his face right in my face, and that's why I remember this, because I didn't know if he was going to hurt me or whatever. I was scared to death. And here's what he said. Son, I'm so sorry for saying that. I didn't see you standing there. We've come so far, we don't have a clue. Now, most Christians don't have a problem using whatever. We've been transformed from within. And it's been a purposeful transformation. It's unbelievable. Goal 25, this is powerful. Break down the cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. We live in a pornographic society today. Do you realize that? I mean, we just do. I go to churches sometimes and I have a hard time up there talking because the way some of the ladies are dressed, they believe the lie that that's okay. It's not okay. It's totally wrong. But we have a crisis with pornography today. You go to Walmart, and the women's magazines that are right at the eye level of our children today, any of those magazines in 1950, America would have been considered triple X pornography, and you would have gone to prison if you tried to distribute them. We've come a long way, and it's hard to believe. They have goals here talking about taking over the church, eliminate prayer in the schools, and on, discredit the family, and that's what they always do. This goal hasn't changed. In 1999, a document called Unrestricted Warfare was found, and it showed that the Chinese communist plan to take America down from within using unrestricted warfare, which means you're using a million different vehicles to destroy and collapse the culture, open borders, fentanyl, you're pushing garbage, you're doing whatever you can, everything except bullets and guns and weapons, to fracture them so much, when you're ready to send the tanks in, they will just crumble from within. So this plan is nothing new. They think now, they originally had said 2049. Here's another just quick story about a communist mind. It's hard for me to comprehend. One of Mao's top aides back in 1949, when the communists had just taken over China, the week they took over China, he wrote in his diary, in 100 years we will take America. They're already setting a plan. That's how patient they are. In 2049, we will take America down. And they've upped that now, and they think, I've heard the latest things I've heard from things that have leaked out of there, they think 2028 they can take America out. And they're working in earnest towards that. Whether they will succeed or not is up to our standing for what is right and spreading the truth and waking the troops. A couple last things in closing. Alex is going to give you the World Economic Forum thing, but their number one prediction, which was played up here, you'll own nothing and be happy. It makes me so laugh, because what's the first plank of the Communist Manifesto? The abolition of private property. That's all this thing is. But they're making you feel like, oh, it's going to be a good thing, as they always do, until they have the levers of power, and then it's no more Mr. Nice Guy. It's very sobering if you look at our country. Antonio Gramsci said you need to take over all the institutions of influence and use those to change the people from within. And as I look over the educational system, they've got it. Entertainment in Hollywood, they've got it. The news media, they've got it. Big business and the boards and the things that are in charge of giving out the money, they've got it. The foundations and nonprofits, they've got it. They've captured them. Colleges and universities, they got it. The churches, the mainline ones, they've got it. They're sorting their trash on Sunday night. They're not studying God's word. The government, of course, they've got it. They've been entrenched. The communists have been entrenched since the 1930s with the New Deal. In 1934, FDR passed the New Deal. It doubled the size of government overnight, and the communists were waiting in the wings, and they jumped into any position they could get, agriculture, education. They didn't care because they knew once we get in there, we'll embed ourselves and start hiring and promoting like-minded fellow travelers. And we saw a couple years ago with Afghanistan debacle. They have our military now. We always thought that was the last thing we had. No. They're radical Marxists are in charge of our military, and they were going against our own president of the United States on so many things, and that's where we stand. But here's the thing you have to face, and it's hard to face, but all of this is our fault. It's the church's fault. It's Bible-believing Christians' fault. And we have to, you have to acknowledge that so you can repent of that, so God can wash that away and then hopefully have mercy on us. But as I've been asked so many questions about communism over the years, I finally said, you know what it is? Communism is the result of removing God's principles, morality, and influence from any nation. That's all it is. You take God out, you will end in communism. And you deserve to end in communism because the prince of this world, Lucifer, that is the world he is creating. And in Psalm 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. When Alexander Solzhenitsyn, when he came from the Soviet Union, said, what happened? How did Russians fall for communism? He could have said a million things. He said, we forgot God. That's why your job is so important here. I'm going to read a quick letter here by a communist. This young man became a communist on a trip into Mexico years ago. And he wrote this letter to his fiance, telling her why now he could not marry her because he found a new love. And I want you, as you listen to this, I ask you, Are you as committed to Jesus Christ and his truth and his ways as this person is to a complete and total lie? We communists have a philosophy of life which no amount of money could buy. We have a cause to fight for, a definitive purpose in life. We subordinate our petty personal selves into a great movement of humanity. And if our personal lives seem hard or our egos appear to suffer through subordination to the party, then we are adequately compensated by the thought that each of us in his small way is contributing to something new and true and better for mankind, the struggle for world communism. There is one thing in which I am dead earnest, and that is the communist cause. It is my life, my business, my religion, my hobby, my sweetheart, my wife and mistress, my bread and meat. I work at it in the daytime, and I dream of it at night. Its hold on me grows, not lessens, as time goes on. Therefore, I cannot carry on a friendship, a love affair, or even a conversation without relating to this force which both drives and guides my life. I evaluate people, books, ideas, and actions according to how they affect the communist cause and by their attitudes towards it. I've already been in jail because of my ideas, and if necessary, I'm ready to stand before a firing squad. I read that the first time, and I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for not taking seriously the things you've given us to do. We're not here to play footsies with the world. We're not here to enjoy all the whatever. We're not here to check off our bucket list. Do you understand the day you die, you stand before your creator and you see heaven, you'll go, why in the world did I care about playing in the sewer compared to what God has prepared for me? All right, last story so we can end on a positive. But people need to know the truth. Here's the good news. These people have taken 130 years to grind America down. Their little efforts, their commitment, their dedication. But we see from the Bible and we see from history that God a lot of times chooses to take our little nothings that we do and multiply it out in a different way. Like the little boy who brought his loaves and fishes to Jesus. That was enough to feed one person. But it didn't feed one person. It fed about 15,000 with the men, women, and children there. Okay? Here's this one story I want to share with you from my own family to encourage you. Be faithful in the little things. That's all that matters, is the little things. In 1961, my mom and dad, they lived in St. Louis, Missouri. My dad was working full-time for McDonnell Douglas, and he was working full-time on getting a PhD in electrical engineering, so he was very busy. My mother was pregnant with my sister, and the doctor had told her, you can't get out of bed for the pregnancy. She'd already lost 4 children in a row, and he said, you're going to lose this one too if you get out of bed. So she stayed in bed, but she used her time wisely. She started reading a lot of books and things. One of the books she read was a book called Masters of Deceit by J. Edgar Hoover. He'd been the founder and head of the FBI, and he wrote a book in 1958 warning the American people. He said, if you American people don't wake up, these masters of deceit are going to take you over from within. And he had a chapter in there on education. He goes, we see them going into the teachers' colleges and getting influence there. We see them going into the seminaries. We see them going into Hollywood. Well, my mom read that book, and it shook her up. She's in her 20s, and she told my dad, Jim, you got to read this book. My dad's like, I'm too busy to read a book. And she said, you have to read this book. So he finally read the book. And here's what a young couple in their 20s, trying to make a difference with the amount of time they had, what they did. My mom, since she had to be in bed, she got all the St. Louis newspapers delivered to the home each day. And she would read through all the letters to the editor. And she would carefully, when one was written by someone that got it, she'd realize, we need to connect with them. They understand what's going on. So she'd call them up and say, we need you to start a small group in your home. And on the first meeting, invite all your family and friends over. My husband's going to come over and give a 2-hour lecture on communism. So they would do this one night a week, even though they were so busy. Well, my dad tells me this story. He said, I came home one night and it was pouring rain. And right when I walked in the door, Mom said, I got a meeting set up for you tonight. And he's like, no, I'm too tired. She goes, you need to go. You don't know who might be there. So he was faithful in the little things. He drove across town in St. Louis to a meeting. And because of the weather, only 2 people showed up. But he was faithful. And he gave those 2 people his 2-hour lecture on communism. When he was done, one of the men came up to my dad and said, if half of what you said is true, we are in serious trouble. My dad said, well, that's why I'm doing this, even though I'm so busy. They became great friends. He started borrowing everything from my father, and in a couple months, he knew more than my dad. And he came to my dad and said, Jim, I'm going to quit my job and write a book about this. And my dad's like, oh, don't get carried away. And he said, nope, I've checked my savings. I've got enough money to last 2 years. So he quit his job. He researched for 2 years and wrote a book. He finished that book January of 1964. But he couldn't get anybody to publish it because he'd never written a book before. So he self-published it. Now, everyone, remember 64 America. There's no internet. There's no credit cards. If you want a copy of his book, you literally have to send him cash or check in the mail. It's not in a bookstore in America. And out of his garage, in 8 months in 1964, he sold 6 million copies. And when Ronald Reagan was elected president of the United States, he said, I would never have been elected president of the United States if John Stormer in 1964 had not written the book, None Dare Call It Treason, the book from the man that came to my dad's meeting. We need to be faithful in the little things. God can, anytime he wants, part the Red Sea, do whatever, but he never does it when we are disobeying what he's asked us to do. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be here.
Curtis Bowers.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I know it might have been some of the things you've heard me say before, but we need to be reminded constantly of where we were and where we are now, and the changes that have taken place, because it's easy to lull ourselves to sleep. Our verse for this week is Proverbs 22:28. This is what the Marxists have been doing to destroy our history, our traditions, our culture, our morality. They've gone against what this verse says. It says this, "Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set." Make sure you're not doing that either. We need to do things the way our forefathers did things.
our education, our church worship, our life, our morality. It's so important. That's what they're doing to transform us from within. They're removing all the ancient landmarks. That's what Mao did in the Cultural Revolution. All the ancient landmarks, all the four olds had to go so they could implement the brave new world of totalitarian communism that would go on to slaughter tens of millions of people. And the same thing is happening today in America. So remember, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. I hope you have a great week, and until next week, God bless you.
Welcome to Agenda Weekly. We invite you to join us for an overview of the news from a conservative Christian perspective. You may be familiar with a weekly video podcast from Curtis Bowers, but Agenda Weekly is much more than that. Every Friday, we provide a written summary of the most important news events from America and around the world. We don't just cover the bad news. We find the often overlooked encouraging stories because we all need some good news. Additional resources include informative videos and articles to dig deeper, a featured hymn of the week, essential prayer points, and specific actions to take personally and in your community. For only $5 a month, less than a cup of coffee, you can subscribe to receive the most comprehensive news source available. Our goal is to save you time, expose the agenda behind the news, and equip you to make an impact right where you are. Subscribe today at agendaweekly.com.